will now read from Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, which you can find on page 189 in your red Bibles. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Short, sweet reading, isn't it, this morning? Unfortunately for you guys, the sermon is not so short and sweet. No, it's all right. You'll be all right. So as you guys know, I already introduced myself. My name is Dave. I'm part of the staff here, and it's an absolute pleasure to share from God's word today. Before we get into it, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word that we've just heard it read. And as we've heard it read, Lord, we all will have our own responses, and I pray that as we continue to dwell on it now for the next 20 minutes or so, that you would be with us and that you would change our hearts and that we would be prompted to choose to serve you, just like Joshua did. Amen. So please keep your Bibles open, even though it was just two verses. We're going to be in that short little passage a whole lot this morning, and we're actually going to be flicking all over Joshua 24 a bit as well. So please keep that open. So as my mates and I walked into our final assembly, these words were on my lips. It's the end of an era. Year 12 was almost over, and the normally boring assembly was actually a little bit exciting, given the fact that we would be walking out for the last time at the end of it. And as the principal made his way up to give his weekly address, this time was different. Instead of biding my time waiting for the end of his speech, I was actually listening with bated breath. What was he going to say to us? Because he had one more chance before we were cut loose to the real world. As Year 12 students, we felt as if we had arrived. All our battles had been fought. Our exams were done. Final reports were written, and we felt like we were on top of the world. And what our principal said to us that day, I can't exactly remember, but he said something along the lines of, this is just the beginning. Keep going. Stay true to the path you've set out on. Now, that's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But I think he was right. While we thought it was all over, really, this was just the start of our lives in the real world. It wasn't time to put our feet up. Now, it was the end of an era, but the next stage was going to be a whole lot bigger. Now, if you've got your Bible opens, you'll see that our short passage this morning begins with the word now. And that means that as we read the words of our passage, we must read them in light of what has come before. So let's get up to speed on what's gone before in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua is a history book in the Bible that tells us how the Israelites come to their land of Israel. Through recounts of battles and executions of kings and gory details, we see God work through his people to fulfill his promises to them. Now, Joshua 24 is right at the end of this book, and we see a promise that is made to Abraham hundreds of years earlier is finally fulfilled in a way. In Genesis 12, we hear God tell Abraham to go out to the land that God showed him and promise that he would make Abraham into a great nation. This was the land that the Canaanites were living in and that Israel had fought for. Now, it's hard to overstate this moment in Joshua 24 as how important it is in this moment in their history. Hundreds of years of waiting are now coming to a close as they're given their promised land at last. Their promised land is reached and Israel's enemies have almost completely been defeated. Their battles have been fought. Was this the end of the road for Israel? The promised paradise was theirs now? Were they up for an early retirement, putting their feet up? Well, the Israelites may well have felt as if they had arrived and their job was done. But today, Joshua 24 gives us a look into Joshua, the leader's address to his people on this huge occasion. This is the last time he will ever speak to his people. Joshua has seen God act on behalf of Israel in so many ways over his years leading them. God has given Israel's enemies over to them. God has been faithful to Israel, and now they've reached the promised land. In his final address to his people, what will Joshua say to them? I think, as with the final assembly, you can imagine the anticipation in the ranks of the Israelites as they gather to hear from Joshua one more time. It's the end of an era. What's next for Israel? Well, Joshua charges them to do one thing. And that's actually our big idea this morning. Joshua tells them to worship the Lord in all faithfulness. That's our first point this morning. Worship the Lord in all faithfulness. So if you look in your passage, let's read that together in verse 14. Verse 14. It says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him in all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Serve the Lord, worship the Lord, is a simple instruction on paper, isn't it? After what God has done for them, Israel must fear God and serve him faithfully. It makes sense. But following this command had proven hard for Israel in the past. Through God's endless faithfulness in the history of the Bible, Israel hasn't been true to God. Now, at this crossroads, this epic moment in Israel's history, once again, they're given the opportunity to choose to serve God alone. Well, what does God require of Israel in this commitment? Well, look at a few of the key words in the verses, and I reckon you'll see what's expected. All faithfulness. Fear the Lord. Throw out other gods. And looking further around the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6 would show you exactly what God desires. Meditating on his word day and night over all ages and stages of life. God wants the Israelites to be fiercely loyal, throwing out any hint of allegiance to anyone else. Serving the Lord faithfully won't just be a slice of the average Israelite's life, obeying traditions and offering sacrifices. An Israelite serving God wholeheartedly will see his whole life reflecting an attitude of reverence and service towards God. He's all in through thick and thin. No matter what, a faithful Israelite will follow God loyally. This is a simple command, isn't it? But it has huge outcomes in the lives of the Israelites. Faithful, loyal, and trusting. These are words that will describe Israel if they go through with this command. Now, these are not the words that I would use to describe myself as an AFL supporter. Now, I follow Essendon. Some of you may know about that. Some of you may not. Because the evidence in my life that I support Essendon is pretty poor. I couldn't tell you who their main players are. I couldn't tell you where they finished on the ladder last year. They're my team, but there are actually other teams that I follow almost as much. I'm tempted to swing to Richmond at the moment. It wouldn't be a big jump for me to do that either. I am an Essendon supporter, but I'm a long way of following them with all faithfulness. Put me next to a lifelong fan, maybe the De Kiverts, and you'll see the difference in an instant. Some of you would know of Joffa. He's arguably the AFL's most loyal supporter. He's a cult hero for anyone who follows Collingwood Football Club. There's no hint of him favouring any other club over his own. He's stuck with them over many, many disappointing seasons. He's faithful and he's loyal. He's exactly the kind of supporter that Collingwood is looking for. Joffa is all in. through thick and thin, he sticks by the footy club and he doesn't question the importance of following them loyally. A life of complete devotion and fierce allegiance to their Lord and God is what is expected of Israel. They can't be half-hearted, lazy supporters that might just follow God alongside other gods or switch at any time. Serving God loyally and completely is what Joshua has charged the Israelites to in our passage. But they are given a choice, aren't they? Let's read verse 15 together in our second point. Read it with me, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Our second point this morning focuses on Israel's choice. Who will they give their lives to? The stipulations or requirements of this agreement with God, this covenant, mean that they must serve God wholeheartedly, or they might as well not serve him at all. Joshua presents to Israel the alternative gods who they may choose to follow. First up, we have the gods that their ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates. Where have these gods got them in the past? Well, when we read Exodus, we see how these gods stacked up against the God of Israel in Egypt. In Egypt, he made a mockery of the Egyptian gods when he set the Israelites free from slavery there, releasing them for service to him with the plagues. I can't see Israel lining up behind Egyptian gods at this point in their history after the Exodus. Now, if the gods of their ancestors in the Euphrates and in Egypt don't suit them, well, Joshua gives them another choice here. The gods that were served by the Amorites. Now, the Amorites are a people that lived in the hills of Canaan, which is land that Israel has now conquered. As Israel has come through and wiped out the Canaanites, the gods of both nations have effectively been pitted against each other. Now, judging by who is standing assembled as a nation in the land of Canaan in Joshua chapter 24, we can comfortably say that the Lord comes out on top. The gods of the Amorites, just like the gods of the Egyptians, had proved ineffective against the God of Israel. So why might it please Israel to serve the Lord? I think as we're looking at the track records of the other rival gods, let's look at God's track record as well. The first 13 verses of chapter 24 are like a preamble to verse 14, which charges Israel to faithfulness. These 13 verses are like a history of Israel. They tell the tale of a faithful God that has acted for the good of his people countless times. If you follow through those verses, God takes Abraham and he gives him land and descendants. God sends Moses and Aaron to Egypt and defeats the Egyptians with plagues and sets the Israelites free. He watched over them in the wilderness and provided for them for many years. And later he brings them to the land of Canaan. And in verse 12, God sends terror before the Israelites. And I think verse 13, if you look at that, that tops off the story of Israel as directed by God. It says, I gave you a land you did not labor for, and cities you did not build, though you live in them. You are eating from vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. God has not only been faithful, he's been gracious, hasn't he? He's been giving the Israelites what they don't deserve. And Joshua himself graciously leaves out the embarrassing details here during these verses. Unfaithful Israel who turned to worship other gods in the wilderness, who failed to trust God and question his judgment and his care for them. Joshua says to them on this day, if you don't want to follow God, that's okay. But who will you serve? What this is an appeal for Israel to think, is our God worth serving? Is he worth committing to? Against all the alternatives, does it make sense to follow God? We like to weigh up the alternatives when we make a choice, don't we? Last year, I bought a new phone. I'm the proud owner of an Oppo. I was happy to leave iPhone behind. But I wanted to make a good choice when I bought this phone. Which model was I going to buy? Was it reliable? Had it served other people well? What was its track record? So as I was making my decision, I pored over websites, I watched YouTube videos, I asked all my friends, including Marty, the tech whiz, I said, what phone is going to be best for me? And I ran the numbers. What's it going to cost? How long is the battery going to last before it dies? And how long before I'd need to replace it? What was the best choice? Now, you may not have a mobile phone at all. You may not have ever bought one. But the principle applies in a lot of areas, I think. Whenever we're thinking of investing time and money into something, we weigh up the options. We lay them all out and investigate them carefully. Bank accounts, home loans, or a school to send our kids to. Compared to the alternatives, which is the one that comes out on top? If you're investing time and money, you want to make a good choice, don't you? I think we all care about making the right choice. And for Israel, Joshua here is putting forward who it is that they may choose to follow. He says, look at God. Look at the alternatives. Where does it make sense to invest? What eventuates here, of course, is an absolute no-brainer of a decision from Israel. Following God is obviously their first choice because all the alternatives are left behind when they run the numbers. And that's the choice that Israel had to make, and it's the choice that they did make. As we think of this choice and of weighing up the alternatives, I think it's important to recognise our need to make this choice this morning as well. As we apply our passage, we're going to do so in two parts, and they stem straight from our big idea this morning. Worship the Lord in all faithfulness. So this is our final point this morning, our choice. Firstly, Joshua charges the Israelites to serve the Lord. The question is for us, who or what is it that we are serving currently? What takes priority in your life? So much so that things are left by the wayside for the sake of it. You may be in church today as someone who would not say they're following Jesus. You wouldn't call yourself a Christian. If you're not serving God, that's okay. It's like what Joshua says. But we have to think, who or what are we serving? Something will be taking top priority for all of us. Maybe you just want to have enough money to be carefree. You don't want to be crazy rich, but just rich enough so you don't have to worry. Maybe your top priority is to feel good and enjoy yourself, or maybe you have a hobby that takes all the time and energy that you're able to give it. It's like this hobby calls the shots for you. Whatever it is, I challenge you to run the numbers. Weigh it up. What are the costs of following? And when you look at the benefits, and I mean the real benefits, lasting ones, is it worth it? Or are you just serving temporary happiness? Who or what is worth serving? In the Gospel of John, Jesus puts this same choice to his disciples. He offers them a chance to choose who they will follow. After many people had chosen to leave Jesus, he asked his disciples, will you leave too? And Peter, Jesus' disciple, I think he hits the nail on the head when he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Peter here had thought about the alternatives. He knew the lasting worth of following Jesus. The only option that led to life, to lasting reward, was to follow Jesus. So he said it. He made the choice. For us, today is the day that we can choose who we will follow. Guys, let today be the end of an era and turn to serve the Lord. I encourage you to weigh up the alternatives. Maybe you've decided already that following Jesus is not for you. In the words of this passage, maybe it does not please you to serve the Lord. You are entitled to your own decision, but I urge you this morning to seriously reassess which God is worth serving. Jesus has words of eternal life. Anything else that we may serve is fleeting in relation to eternity, isn't it? Things can crumble in an instant. The only thing that is unshakable is God, and he is worth following. So choose wisely. I think everyone comes to an important stage in their life, and that is, of course, when they choose what AFL team or sporting team they will follow. Now, we all have our reasons for supporting a team. Maybe it's your country of origin. Maybe you follow Australia in the cricket. Or maybe you're a loving wife who goes along with your husband's team just so you can keep the peace when the footy's on. Or maybe you're a loving wife that, to instead of keeping the peace, you decide to follow any team that's playing against your husband's team just to rile him up. Maybe you got past your team from your siblings or your parents. Now, imagine you could choose any team. There was no husband that you had to follow or go against, any team you wanted, but you knew that only one team was ever going to win. There's no chance, 0% chance, of an upset win or an underdog victory. One team is just going to win every time. Now, that would make for pretty predictable TV, wouldn't it? But you'd be crazy to support anyone else. The team that wins is the team that is worth following. Now, it's fine to follow an AFL team that is never going to win, isn't it? But cast your mind now to something much more important, something that you give your life to. What will you follow? What will you serve in your life? Will you follow God, who has a proven track record, who's going to always come out on top? Or will you pour time and effort and your allegiance into something that is bound to come off second best? Make that choice and choose wisely, because this is no choice of AFL team. Let's choose life together this morning. As we begin this year of 2020, let's choose Jesus, who has the words of eternal life. Let today be the start of a new life, serving the only one whose promises reach into eternity. Now, many of us have already chosen to serve the Lord this morning. And that's our first section of applying our passage. But our second application this morning is in the next phrase of our big idea: in all faithfulness. It's not the end of an era when we decide to follow God, is it? Instead, it's the start of a life serving him. God wants his followers to be totally loyal. But unfaithfulness creeps into our thoughts and into our actions and priorities all too easily, doesn't it? Joshua tells the Israelites to throw out all other gods. Don't just put them in a corner and try and forget about them, but cut your association with them and get them as far from you as you can. It's not possible to fully serve God and other things as well. Are we fiercely loyal in following God, or do we consider other things equally in our decision making? Do, as we talked about before, do money or wealth or popularity or reputation, or maybe even staying inside your comfort zone, maybe you weigh those up equally in your decision making. It's worth thinking about this stuff. How faithful are we in serving God in our decisions? God desires faithfulness, but of course we're going to fail. I know I do. Well, we're told that while God desires us to be faithful, he cares for us despite our constant rebellion. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that while we were still sinners, being unfaithful to God, Christ died for us. God has dealt with our unfaithfulness and he allows us to serve him. If you think back to those first 13 verses of our chapter today, the history of Israel in our passage majored on God and on his character. And for us, it's the same. God is the major player in our story, and he makes the moves for us to be brought to him. While we will strive and fail towards faithfulness, God is waiting for us, and he is perfectly faithful. And he loves us enough to have dealt with our rebellion through Jesus. I don't want to put faithfulness out here today solely as a command that must be done. Faithfulness here isn't blind loyalty to a ruler who is harsh and cruel. But I'm putting faithfulness out here as a requirement, yes, but also as the best, greatest gift that God has given us. You see, following God faithfully is good because God is a good God. Israel saw that when they compared God to the alternatives, and I think that we'll see that as well when we weigh it up in our lives. He is faithful even when we are faithless. In my experience, serving other gods has only given me bitterness and dissatisfaction. But serving God faithfully is both a requirement and a benefit of the Christian life. Following God faithfully is a gift, and one that we'll see play out in our own lives. It's the best option. Today, faithfulness, following God in all faithfulness, is our choice and our charge. Let's choose to worship the Lord and choose to do so faithfully. In our passage, Joshua finishes the charge to Israel with his own choice. He says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." He's committed to the Lord who has delivered him from his enemies. Joshua's family would prove faithful. Though all Israel committed to God on the last day of his speech, Joshua's household would soon enough be representing a tiny minority that remained loyal to God. So let's keep on serving God. We'll stay faithful. Let this day be the day that you choose to follow God and throw out the other rivals. Now may we be able to say, as Joshua's descendants would have, "As for me and my household, we have served the Lord." Committing to follow God was for Joshua's house not the end of an era, but the start of a long journey of faith. Let's make that commitment and stick to it. And let's worship the Lord in all faithfulness. Why don't we pray together? Lord, you are faithful to us. Unchanging in character, we can rely on you. Help us to respond to that with faithfulness on our part because we want to serve you fully. We're sorry, Lord, that we are so consistently unfaithful. Forgive us for not trusting you and for running to other gods that don't even compare. Thank you for the gift of faithfulness and that you care for us so much that you sent Jesus even while we were in rebellion to you. God, help us to worship you in all faithfulness, in our decisions and our thoughts and actions. Amen.